Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine.
Are you coming in, Bear? Or what?
Oh, have you got the dog with you?
Yeah, Bearsy.
Are you on? Where are you? Are you in bed?
I'm in the marital bedroom.
Are you in bed?
I'm on the bed, not in the bed. And Bearsy.
Oh, hello, mister.
Hello, Bear. Bear says hello.
Is he going to cuddle up with his dad for the pod?
Probably, yeah.
That's nice. Cuddle up.
Come on,
get him up.
Here you come. Lie down. Don't touch the laptop.
Oh, yeah, that's a point. Don't let him lick anything.
You need opposable thumbs for the laptop, Bear, which you haven't got.
Bless him.
Sorry.
Right, so I'm ready. You're on in bed with the dog, and we can start.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Should we do it, Bear?
Molly Green and
Terry Rudge.
Well, yes. On top, that's God's way of getting you to enjoy Gardener's World.
The Happy Garden.
Love it. Love it already.
The dog's attacking me.
Dear. Oh, God.
Help. Help. He's attacking me.
More jeopardy as we start the Happy Garden. There's always something wrong. Every week there's something going on in the... Are you all right?
I'm all right, yeah. He wants to play.
That's all right. You haven't got any lunch around your face. It's not like on you, is he? Okay.
No. Stop it. Stop it.
All right. Well, let me welcome you to the Happy Garden podcast. Oh, God, it's all going on. Welcome to the February garden. The garden full of promise. The garden full of possibilities. The garden full of buds. And the birds have started to sing. And the sunny days make you want to tidy, to nest. The kitchen windowsill can be full of potted primroses and beautiful muscari and daffodils as well, which make your soul smile. It's a joyful month. And to spread joy to today's proceedings, I haven't heard anything he's in for about 20 seconds, so I'm hoping he's still there. The joyful Darren Rudge.
Hello! Still here. He didn't go for my throat.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome, Dazzler.
Hello. God, I've had a right week.
Well, we ought to address the elephant in the room. Yeah, before we do anything, I have had so many messages about last week's podcast and what on earth the medical emergency was, which meant that Darren couldn't finish it. Are you okay?
I'm all right. I was pregnant.
Darren! Huge twit.
And I didn't know.
As long as you make yourself laugh, Darren, that's good. Oh, no, now the dog's dying.
The dog's going crazy downstairs.
Oh, are you? How do we find you today as we're recording the podcast?
I'm all right. I'm okay. Sore.
Which bit sore? Come on, let's explain.
My left eye.
Yeah.
It was my left eye, folks.
Came off. came away, didn't it?
I had, yes, definitely, yeah. He popped out.
Oh,
had what was called a vitreous detachment.
Ow.
There's this spongy stuff that's at the back of your eye. And the problem is it can tear your retina. So that's the big problem. The vitreous detachment is not the issue. But, yeah, I had a bit of a frightening day on Tuesday.
It sounds like it. And you were in the hospital for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah. 3 o'clock in the morning we got out of the hospital.
Wow.
So, and then I had to get to the eye infirmary the following day just to have a deep exploration done.
Yeah. What did they find?
A brain, surprisingly.
You got everything you needed to have, yeah.
So, actually I found everything was intact.
Okay.
So everything was good, but there had been a vitreous detachment. And
how are you feeling now?
I'm all right. It's sore and light is still painful. But they also found a really nasty infection in that eye. And I had COVID over Christmas, didn't I? I think it could be linked to sort of COVID.
Oh, because your immune system was down.
I think I might have been low.
Well, some of our best work was at the end of last week's podcast. I think, you know, we were creative, we were amusing. It was a genius ending to the pod, but no one heard it because, A, my computer didn't record it, and then, B, you were stuck in the hospital.
So, yes.
Oh, do you mind? Did you hear the end of last week's podcast? I had to get my friend June to finish
yes.
it. I had to drive to June's.
Fantastic.
Hope you don't mind.
No, not at all. Okay. Fantastic. June's a good stand-in. Now we've got a stand-in.
June's
we've got an apprentice, haven't we?
Blooming June, yeah. Right, well, no cartwheels for you then today during the...
No, they've told me limited screen time.
Stop that.
And,
are you going to do the pod with your eyes shut?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing all of this from memory.
I have, well, that's because you're a genius. I do have, actually, I bought last summer a job lot of blind stuff. There was a blind
Thank
shop
you.
Closing down.
Yeah.
What's it called? The RNLI. Oh, no, that's lifeboats. The RNIB. There was one of those shops was closing down. I don't know. I ended up at boot sale, but I bought it all. So I've got all sorts of aids that I can send to you. I've got the blackout glasses.
Yeah.
Alarm clocks.
Oh, yeah.
Watches.
Yeah.
Key rings.
Yeah.
Meat thermometers.
Meat thermometers.
I've got all sorts of, like, blind stuff.
Okay.
No, I actually have, so I'll FaceTime
you. Blind?
No, but just to help your eyes. But I'll FaceTime you later with anything that you fancy. Anyway, should we get on to what's happening today?
Yes.
Okay. But the most exciting thing for you, Darren, hang on a second.
I'm Professor Alice Roberts, and you're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast.
Hey.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Made it all worthwhile.
Yeah, but you're glad you turned up today, aren't you? Professor Alice Roberts is going to be talking about garden archaeology a little bit later on the Happy Garden Podcast. And she has a question for you as well, Darren.
Oh?
No.
A question for me? Brilliant.
Yeah, so we'll be doing that a little bit later on. Andy Lound as well, amazed and astounded with Andy Lound, has the history of archaeology that's been found in back gardens. So that's a really interesting one. What are you doing today, Adaz?
I've got jobs for the week ahead,
Ace.
As always. Got six jokes, which I've memorised.
Okay,
six
that'll
jokes.
Go well then, yep.
Yeah. And a fabulous money-saving tip. Nature gives us some wonderful things if we realise they are there.
Yeah.
And this is a nature tip.
Okay, look forward to that.
So it's a money-saving tip from nature.
That sounds nice. Actually, I see your money-saving tip and I'll raise you one as well.
Oh, God.
It's not often Molly's money-saving tips comes in, but, yeah, I've got one later as well, which
Great.
Is really good. And lovely listener Rupert wants to tell us all about his massive true garlic variety as well, so we'll hear from him a bit later on. Oh, Rudge Wrap, are you pleading adjournment on medical grounds this week?
I haven't been able to read or listen or write anything this week.
Yeah, no, I will let you off in that you have one eye working. We'll do the Rudge Wrap soon.
Well, you've always known I've had a wonky eye, and it was the wonky eye that went wonkier.
Well, I was telling my mum about your eye, and she did actually say, which eye is it? Because if it was your good eye, it would have been awful.
Wait.
It would have been worse, let's say.
It would have been worse, yeah. Mm. No, it was my wonky eye.
Okay.
Because I've always had a wonky eye.
Exactly.
You know when I talk to you, you think I'm talking over your shoulder.
Need to get you a patch, don't we?
That's my wonky eye.
That's your wonky eye.
You always look past and think, who's he talking yeah. to?
Love you. I do actually love you very much. So with your good eye, we'll make a fister today. Let me give you a little February quote, actually, from Mark Parent. This is really nice. If January is the month of change, February is the month of lasting change. January is for dreamers, February is for doers. And that relates to the garden, doesn't it? Let me ask you, before we start with some jobs for the week, Darren, talk to me about the garden in February. I know some gardeners will call this the busiest month of the gardening calendar, won't they?
Well, it's the time when everything starts to kick off. Basically, it's when, you know, we wait, don't we, as gardeners to see, and we hope that this replenishment, and this goes back to paganism, really, and all those things where we wait to see that life returns to our spaces, our lives. And February is that time when we start to see things actually start to grow. You know, snowdrops, they're there, aren't they? All these sorts of things start to kick into action, as I call it. And, yes, it's time to get out in the garden and actually do some stuff and just prepare for the spring. So March really is when temperatures start to lift, although, having said that, what is it? It's 11, 12 degrees today.
Yeah, double figures,
It's quite mild. We haven't had a winter, really, this year, folks. And seasons all merge. This is a problem with climate change. February is that sort of that hinge month. I always think of it as a, you know, that little hinge, the door opens.
That's nice.
And towards the end of February, you know, we really start to look forward to the spring that we've actually got to come, because things just start to bud up. Things start to push out new leaves, and we've just got that expectation of that wonderful virginal spring to come. And that's what February means to me.
It's lovely. I was having a look at the hydrangea cuttings, which you talked me through cutting last year, and the buds are so fat, and there's little curled, fat, green, verdant leaves waiting to come out. It fills me with excitement, which I must ask you a little bit later on when to plant those. Hang on, let me write that down.
Okay.
Hydrangea cuttings. Right, shall we start with some jobs for the week ahead, Darren?
We can do.
Now in the happy garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Oh, yes. 3, 2, 1, and go!
Well, bush, roses and repeat flowering climbers should be pruned in the next 2 weeks, folks. You naughty people, if you haven't done it already. Okay. Deciduous tree planting and shrub planting can still continue if it's not too wet. So get them into the ground. And if you've got root bald evergreens, you can pop those in now. It's a good time to divide things. So all those lovely herbaceous perennials, they can be divided at this particular point in time. Don't forget to disregard the centre section and basically plant the outer sections. Any fallen twigs you can gather during gales, and hedges that have grown too tall or too wild can be renovated at this particular point in time. So give them a good hard cut back. But not cypresses, not your conifers, as these do not resprout. So don't cut hard back into them. Old flower stems can be tidied away, or they can be left on the soil as a mulch, ready for those beasties and bugs to make a happy home.
Thank you very much, Darren. That's absolutely ace. And we'll do some more before we go home. Oh, no, we are at home. But we'll do some more before the end of the pod. All right. Now, listen, I feel like I'm really encroaching on your territory here.
Why?
Because it's Darren's money-saving tips. It's nothing to do with me. But I do have one.
Okay, and well, that's right.
A really good one that I came across in the week, and I wrote it down, and I thought I'll encroach on Darren's territory here with a Molly's money-saving tip. Now, apparently, have you been to the Eden Project?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm jealous. Is it brilliant?
Lovely. It's brilliant, yeah, especially the hot tropical. They've got a cabin halfway through the hot tropical section because it's so warm and so hot and tropical. Yeah. You have to go into the cabin and cool down.
Really?
There's water and stuff in there, yeah.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, I like the sound of that. It's great. Well, my husband and I were booked to go on the 26th of March 2020, lockdown day. So, yeah, couldn't go.
Well, you predicted the pandemic.
Did I? Remind me. Did I?
You did.
I'm so old, I can't remember. What did I say?
Because we were at a certain radio station.
Mm.
Do you know who we were?
Wait.
Molly and Darren.
Do you know who we were?
and you went, you said to me at that on that day, yeah. I think it was like a week before that date.
Yeah.
You went, this is going to be a national pandemic.
Did I?
And, you know,
it's now awful,
this is going to change the world.
Did I?
That's what you said.
Down my memory.
So I blame you.
Yeah, it'll all be my fault. Anyway, we didn't get to go to the Eden Project and still haven't, but must do. But listen, if you want to go, if you go onto the Eden Project website right now, or if you Google Eden Project National Lottery, and you get two tickets for free, basically, if you've got a National Lottery ticket. Seems too good to be true, but you can book online in advance now. Pick a date that you want to go to the Eden Project. Get it booked. It's normally £33 each to get into the Eden Project. But as long as you've got a lottery ticket, which is it about £150, Darren? I haven't bought one for ages.
Yeah.
£150 a ticket. Yeah. Then between the dates of the 9th and 17th of March, yeah, you get in free as long as you show them your lottery ticket. I know, isn't that a crazy deal?
Buy me a lottery ticket tonight, I think.
So for £3, you're getting £66 of tickets free. That's not bad at all. Thought I'd share that tip.
The Happy Garden Podcast.
Darren, we must welcome new listeners to the Happy Garden Podcast, of which we've had many this week.
Where from?
This is only a few. I could honestly, the list's really big, but new this week, Philippines.
Wow.
Thailand, Bangkok.
Wow.
And a fair few in Hungary as well.
Really?
I don't know how they get to hear about us. It perplexes me. But we must welcome everybody. And also, if you don't mind us pleading, if you don't mind when you listen to our podcast, if you could rate and review on your podcast platform, it would really help what Darren and I do to reach more people as well. So rate and review if you possibly could. That would be absolutely great. Right, we're going to be hearing from the wonderful Darren's secret crush, Professor Alice Roberts, very shortly about garden archaeology. But firstly, though, let's get our Andy Lound on with some specifics. Here is the history of garden finds.
It's Amaze and Astound with Andy Lound. That's me. Hello, Molly and Darren. Can you guess what I'm up to? No, I'm not altering the time on my mobile. I'm detectorising. Yes, I have my metal detector out and doing some garden archaeology. Have you ever wondered what's hidden in your undergrowth? Well, hey, garden archaeology has really taken off, partly due to the lockdown when people spent more time in their gardens. Lockdown sparked a spate of archaeological finds, from Neolithic arrowheads to post-medieval belt hooks, all in back gardens. Metal detecting was prohibited during lockdown, so people turned to their own plots, finding an array of objects under their lawns and flower beds. What have people found? Clay pipes are common. These may have been lost or dropped by workmen. Pottery of all kinds. These can indicate what activities have been taking place and when. In Surrey, one garden produced Neolithic arrowheads. Imagine! Over 4,000 years ago, some people dropped their arrowheads in a field that would later become a garden. Imagine their lives. In suburban garden near Bradford, a Bronze Age quern was dug up. This was used to grind grain, a sure sign of an encampment. A medieval silver coin was discovered in a garden in Stoke-on-Trent, and a sandstone rock with Ogham script, thought to date from the 4th century, was found in Coventry. One lucky gardener found a post-medieval snake-formed belt hook in Herefordshire. In 2012, a gold lover's ring was discovered in a chicken run in Shropshire after the hens had been scratching for worms, and a late medieval iconographic ring was found on the top of a molehill on a garden lawn in Herefordshire. Of course, these are ancient finds. There are modern finds too. Second World War arms caches of live grenades and ammunition have been discovered by metal detecting. One house found a whole 1940s car buried in the garden. I wonder if it had a sawn certificate. In Bourneville, items discovered in gardens have included a variety of dog, cat and bird skeletons, tins of chocolates, and even gravestones. Apparently, a number of houses were built over the site of an 18th century burial plot. In Caerwent in Wales, people have remains of Roman buildings in their gardens. Anything found that could be of importance should be taken to your local museum. Any old ammunition, of course, call the police. If you are very lucky, then you may find fossils, especially if you live in the Wenlock or Ludlow areas. My garden was part of a farmer's field, and I have found a number of bits of pottery, mainly Victorian, bits of modern tools, no end of nails and screws, but no dinosaur foot or Anglo-Saxon treasure. Detecting is great fun, and creating a mini archaeological dig is also fun and good training for you. In the soil of your garden, there could be a story waiting from history. Imagine the item that you pick up. You will be the first person to set eyes on it in 100, 1,000, 10,000 or even 1,000,000 years. All right, get back to work, grab me spade and dig those sods. Oh, wait a minute, a World War II German helmet. Oops, my mistake. So, Molly and Darren, more from the potting shed next time.
Andy Lound, everybody!
Yay!
Yay. Thank you, Andy. Oh, he's so
brilliant.
Ace. Yeah, he's
brilliant,
just,
as always.
He's ace. If you want to hear, or learn, should I say, more about Andy and... his talents aren't just niche to horticultural history. He does all sorts. So if you have a look at andrewlound.com, you'll find out more. Right, now, last week on the pod, we had a question, didn't we, Dazzler, about planting supermarket garlic.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you were detailing sort of how, whether it's viable and how to do it. And on the Happy Garden Facebook page, Rupert put a picture up saying, that's not garlic, this is garlic. Showing off with a massive bulb. So I gave him a bell yesterday to find out why his was so massive. Hi, Rupert.
Hello, Petal. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm good. Are you?
Can you guess where I am? Can you hear the background noise?
I can as it goes. Are you in the coop? Well, actually, yeah, before we do talk about your massive garlic, we're going to be talking about having ex-Battery Girls forthcoming on the podcast in the next few weeks. And you had a few the other day, didn't you?
We've got 10 battery ends here and that. And I tell you what, they're very, very friendly. I mean, I've always had exhibition chickens, but we're bird flu. You can't show no, there's no show. They just started last week, the show. So I'll have a few battery ends. I need something in my pen just to sit here. Since I've had a stroke and that, I'm twiddling my thumbs at the weekends what to do. And sitting here with them now, giving them a bit of corn and looking after them and collecting a few eggs, and the amount of people up the allotments that come round and want to have a stroke of them and bring the kids round, it's absolutely fantastic. They sit here, the kiddies come in, they build their confidence, they get to learn a bit about life. The main bit is these battery ends have taught the three or four kids that come around here every week on a Sunday. And unfortunately, I don't get no eggs off these battery ends because the kids have them all.
You're doing your bit for the community. I love it. Now, Rupert, you sent us the most lovely picture on the Facebook page of, what was it, Godfrey garlic. We were talking last week on the podcast. It was a listener question of some kitchen garlic that she had started to sprout. Can she get it in the ground, which Darren answered. And then you sent in this picture of this massive garlic.
I did, yes. It's a true garlic. Everybody keeps saying, oh, it's just elephant garlic. No, it's not. Elephant garlic is actually a bulbous leek. People think it's a garlic. It's not. Mm. It grows like leeks. It looks like leeks, but it's the bulb part that you eat, and it grows the same as garlic, but it is actually genetically a leek. Yeah. This is a real true garlic, grows big. If you grow it correctly, grows bigger than elephant garlic. It, depending on your soil conditions and how you feed it, also affects the flavour. It is a very strong garlic, but if you just plant it and forget it and dig it up, you'll get nice garlics, but they'll just be a normal sort of garlic flavour. But and at our local ag show, for Longley's show, I've won a number of first prizes over the last two or three times I've showed it. Very nice. Would you like a little bit of background information on it?
Yeah, Godfrey garlic. Go ahead.
Right, Godfrey garlic. Godfrey Poynton, I think his name was, developed it years and years ago. I think it was down in Ramsgate allotments. And when he passed away, his wish was that it was shared around. It wasn't sold. It's shared around. And what you do is you plant. So let's say you plant 10 of these garlic cloves and you harvest 50 cloves off it. That's normally you get 5 cloves to a bulb. You pick the best ones for growing for next year's seed for yourself. And then you give half of the saved away and eat the other half. So if you've got 50, you plant 25, you keep 12 or so for eating and give 12 to somebody else on the same conditions that they grow it. And when they've got enough for themselves, they start sharing it.
Oh, that's nice.
And I think it's a fantastic... And I've got people coming round today, the local community garden, so seed swap in Coventry, and that many people have applied for some. I've only got enough to share for 3 people, but at least three people are going to have some, and they've all agreed the same, that they will grow it, and after a couple of years, when they've got enough spare, they'll share it. And I think it's an absolutely brilliant idea.
What's the seed swap? What's going on?
Right, well, what it is, it's a local community thing on Facebook, and if you've grown something and you've got too many of them, house plants, garden plants, seeds off your runner beans, broad beans, garlics, whatever, so long as you follow the basic guidelines for saving seeds, then you can advertise them on this page and somebody will swap you a jar of jam for it or half a dozen eggs, or they'll give you some seeds that you want. And I think it's a brilliant... It's going back to these battery ends, it's a community base. As we get older, I think we're starting to realise our values in life. And it's not all about how much can I earn, how much can I spend. It's about sharing with each other. Because you ain't going to be here forever, Duck. That's the main thing. So leave something good behind you.
That is so nice, Rupert. We are going to be doing an allotment special in time to come here on the Happy Garden podcast. Will you come on when we do that special and talk about allotments?
I would be more than delighted. As for my sins, I'm deputy chairman of our allotments in Radford, and I would be more than happy to come and do that for you.
Brilliant. Oh, that's ace. We must make you a part of the Happy Garden podcast, because you have so much knowledge, Rupert. Would be remiss not to use you, really.
Yeah. I used to say to my dear old mum, who's been passed away about 14 years now, she used to breed rare colour rabbits, show rabbits, but rare colour. And I used to say to her, please write it down so people after you know how to do it. And yeah, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next week, and then next week was too late. Mm. So with this modern society we're in now, and you can ring me up and record me, I think in 20, 30, 40 years' time, like the photographs I've done at poultry shows, they'll be there in 100 years' time for information for people to look at. The information will be there, and that's what the world's about. We've got to teach the young ones and the novices in the world how to do things traditionally.
A fascinating conversation which hasn't finished yet because he's going to tell us how to plant garlic a bit later on, but fascinating conversation so far with Rupert, Darren.
Yeah, and, you know, his last conversation was right on point, wasn't it? That our youngsters are the people we need to invest in.
Yeah.
And they need to know the traditional methods for growing so that this can continue onwards, Molly. Godfrey garlic, wonderful stuff.
And there's so many threads in there as well. He's so right about passing down knowledge and not letting it get lost. Because, you know, a lifetime of knowledge lost, that's really sad, isn't it? If it hasn't been jotted down, or, as Rupert's just said, we'll record him with all his tips and tricks and stuff like that. And the same with you and all your knowledge, Darren. It would, you know, if you were snuffed out, it would be an absolutely crying shame that, well, thank goodness you're laying it all down on our podcast before you go.
But This is what 90% of my life is about, isn't it? Is teaching and passing on that knowledge. And even doing this and you know, the radio work and stuff like that's what it's all about, is just keeping it in people's mind's eye and just keeping it going and updating knowledge as well. We're going through climate change, all those sorts of things, and there's lots and lots of things that we used to do traditionally we're recommending that we don't do anymore. So new knowledge is as good as anything else, so that we can move with the times. But to train our youngsters, because they are our future, is most definitely something that I wholeheartedly agree with. So well done.
Also, the aspect of the community swap as well that he mentioned at the end. I love that. I love that he's, even though it's three people, it's, you know, it's the ripple effect, isn't it? Those three people hopefully will supply another three people. And even if it wasn't the Godfrey garlic, it's other seed swaps, it's other surplus, it's getting the community together, which is lovely.
Well, it's just brilliant, isn't it?
It is.
This is just dealing with the waste of gluts and things like that, so that, you know, if you've got additional stuff, you can pass it on, and you know, people will take advantage of it and benefit from it.
Yeah,
and that's entirely the way. Yeah, well, that's entirely the way we need to be thinking and growing and dealing with people. We are community based species, aren't we? We like to get together and we like to be together and actually growing things and eating and being sustainable in that way is entirely the way we should go with this. So it's fantastic to see that little seed is starting to germinate, isn't it?
That reminds me of a quote. You're good on quotes. Linda Ellerby. In the coldest February, as in every other month, in every other year, the best thing to hold on to in this world is each other. Isn't that nice? Oh,
that's lovely. I mean, I've got the Confucius one.
Go on, then.
It says, man who plants a tree, knowing that he will never see it mature, truly knows the meaning of life.
Oh, that's amazing. That's very Capability Brown. Selfless.
It is. But he was a called Capability because he saw the capabilities in the land that he used to use.
Oh, was that not his name?
No, it was Lancelot Brown. But they called him Lancelot Capability Brown because he saw the capabilities in the land that he...
And how did I not know that, really?
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know...
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Because I thought that was an odd name. It's just a nickname. Gosh, I've learned something today.
That's what he used to do. He used to go into these wealthy landowners and he'd sell them these ideas because he could see the capabilities. Like, I'll plant you an acorn and in 300 years' time...
Yeah, selfless.
There'll be an oak tree there. You know,
yeah.
If I could do that on my garden design practice, I'd be a millionaire, wouldn't
I? You'd be a millionaire, darling. Millionaire. No, but you see, these days people want it now, don't they?
Mm,
yeah,
exactly.
It needs to come to fruition within 3 years. But yeah, when you see the National Trust properties, Ragley Hall, gosh, I've been to so many lately that are Capability Brown that, as you say, only come to fruition hundreds of years later after planting.
Yeah.
It is beautiful.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? Mm. And he was dealing with, you know, large landscapes. It's like Trentham Gardens. If you ever go to Trentham Gardens, folks, just outside Stoke, the pool that you go, there's a little steamship you can sit on, Molly. It's only small.
Go on.
Little steamship, and you go for a ride around the lake. Okay, it's a massive lake.
Yeah.
But that took 60 years to dig out. And the hillside around the actual lake wasn't there before the lake was dug out. And that was Capability Brown. 60 years.
And it would have all been by hand.
It was by hand. People spent their lives and they died digging that lake out. For us to sit on a little steam ship going around thinking, oh, this is a nice day out, isn't it?
That's incredible. Again, selfless. You'll never see the fruits of your labour. We must sometime in 2024 do something with National Trust and have a look at some of the properties and the landscaping at National Trusts in the UK.
Yeah, we'll have to go and do a pod from one of the National Trusts, won't we?
Well, I'll tell you where I might go this week, although it's probably too late to sort of organise any sort of interviews, but I might go and then just tell you about it next week, is Packwood House, which is somewhere.
Yeah.
Is it Solihull? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I tell you the reason why, Darren. Here we are, is a money-saving tip. Quite often, because when I
No, hang on a sec. I'll get into trouble if I say this. Will I get into trouble? No, I won't get into trouble. Will I? I'll say it and then I'll review it and see if I'll get into trouble.
I don't know what you're going to say.
Okay, let me say it. Right, you know when I still do cover at BBC Radio WM? Yeah. Obviously the papers come down in the morning, you know, all the yes. papers.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I'll get into trouble because the point is they all get thrown away at the end of the day, all right? They're all chucked. So quite often, and it happened a couple of weekends ago, many of the papers run a free National Trust voucher. I don't know if you've ever seen them.
Yeah.
Daily Mail, yeah. Express, a lot of the red tops as well. And, you know, it's worth 50, 60 quid. It's an entry for two to any UK National Trust property. So for the price of the paper, similarly so to the Eden Project tip that I gave a little bit earlier on, for the price of the paper, you're into any National Trust in the UK worth 50, 60 quid. So obviously I took all the vouchers a couple of weeks ago because they were going in the bin. And so within the month of February, I've got about five vouchers that I can go anywhere National Trust-wise. Packwood House seems to have the most phenomenal, I think it's like a medieval yew garden.
Yeah, which it's brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, have you been?
Yeah, it's really good.
Packwood is really good. You get in there first. Go on, tell us all about it then before I go.
Well, it's just the medieval garden is brilliant. It's just got topiary and you can wander through. I think there's a maze there. Mm. Haven't been for quite a while, but there's a maze there, I think. And the landscape itself is wonderful.
Cool.
Totally and utterly wonderful. So you must go. But, yeah. you know the other thing about National Trusts,
go
if
on.
You take your good husband, he will be doing his national service.
What?
Your husband will be doing his national service if you take him to a National Trust property. Because when your husband goes to the toilet, okay, he doesn't urinate into, a urinal. What he will be doing is he'll be tiddling on a bale of straw. So the male urine, is diverted and basically they saturate bales of straw with male urine. And then when once the bales of straw are saturated, they're called pee bales, as in pee bales.
P-E-E?
Yeah. As in pea bales. When they're saturated, they take them to their compost heaps. They mix them in. It activates the compost heap, okay? And then basically all that lovely compost is then distributed onto the borders so that when you walk through and you say, look at these wonderful rolling borders, your husband's done that.
Forever be a part of Backwood House.
Yeah.
And, of course, all the produce gets used in the tea shop. So
exactly.
Yeah, full circle.
And that is down to men's wee.
Obviously not women's. It's
You're two. Women's
you're,
aren't.
No, you're too coarse.
Caustic.
You're just coarse.
Yeah, you kill all the vital
all right.
bugs and beasties that we need.
Well, that's really interesting, and I'll think of that when he goes to relieve himself.
There you go.
This week. Who was, let's address the elephant in the room. Who's after you? Is that the RHS?
It was my mum.
Oh, is she all right?
Yeah, she's fine.
Do you need to...
No.
Well, we've got some adverts coming up if you need to...
Yeah, I'll phone her back.
Call her. All right, cool.
She's all right.
Well, we'll be back in a couple of ticks anyway with Darren's favourite. We've got Professor Alice Roberts. Darren, after a couple of adverts. So I shall relieve you for a couple of minutes.
What?
Unless you want to sort yourself out. And we'll see you very shortly.
Bye. Oh dear.
Oh, I've got my my stomach hurts.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Still laughing.
Anyway, you'd love that.
Okay. Are you, Darren, are you relieved and up to strength and ready for the second half of the podcast? You're all
totally,
good?
Totally.
Okay.
Totally.
Right. Right. All right. Recharged and ready to go.
Ready to go.
Are you ready for Alice?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have a fair few celebs on the way on the Happy Garden podcast. Dr. Alice Roberts, Professor Alice Roberts, is one of our favourites. Archaeologist. Well, she's not just an archaeologist. This is a historian. She's... it's so technical. I'm not really sure what she is, but a doctor and all sorts. So I managed to get to speak to Alice, and I asked her if we find much archaeology in the gardens across the UK.
Yes, we do. Yeah, gardens are a rich source of archaeology because people tend to dig in them. And obviously, archaeology is usually buried underground. and it's, in fact, how I first got started being interested in archaeology, digging in the vegetable bed when I was a kid. And finding little bits of pottery and thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, where have these come from? Why have these ended up in my garden? Most of it was Victorian rubbish, but it's still exciting. You know, you found something that nobody's seen for 100 years. That's wonderful.
All this came from the veg patch. That's really exciting. What a revelation. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And then when I started working with Time Team, which was my kind of first foray into television as well, I remember doing a particular Time Team episode where we were digging in people's gardens and finding Anglo-Saxon burials, oh, wow, which was extraordinary.
Well, I was thinking the other night, back to Richard III, he could quite easily, the friary being destroyed, what, 500 years ago, where he was buried, he could quite easily have ended up in somebody's front or back garden. Somebody could have found him digging a pond.
Oh, they really could have done. And also the slim chances of the University of Leicester ever finding him is quite astonishing because, as you say, that church was destroyed. It's amazing that his burial survived and that it hadn't ended up underneath a modern building,
yeah,
and that it was under the car park. I think when they started digging, colleagues from University of Leicester Archaeological Services didn't think they were going to find him. It was a very tiny chance that they would. And just astonishing that they did. And actually, I was with Matthew Morris, who was the guy who found him, just last week. I was given an honorary degree from the University of Leicester.
Oh, congratulations, Alice.
Thank you very much.
Yay.
And I was hanging out with all my archaeology friends, John Thomas, Matthew Morris. And I was given my degree by the very lovely Dame Professor Maggie Aderin-Pocock,
wow,
who is the Chancellor at Leicester.
What a day.
That was really lovely. We had a big hug.
I bet you did. The archaeology pals are like that. Even when they were putting the tarmac down, obviously they've got to do the scraping and whatnot. Isn't it weird to think he was lying there and the diggers and the rollers, and they couldn't have been more than a couple of foot above him. It's just crazy. But I was thinking, if it hadn't been the car park, it could have been somebody's garden. Does it ever worry you that people might, I mean, Richard III aside, but somebody might dig up something really, really of archaeological significance and importance and not realise what they're looking at?
Yeah, of course. I mean, people find stuff all the time. And it's you know, a great source of archaeological knowledge from, you know, I suppose what you would call amateurs. But some people are so, you know, interested in archaeology that they have a lot of expertise. So, you know, from people digging in their own gardens to people going out and metal detecting, they do discover a lot of sites. And what's important is that if you find something, report it. You know, take it to your local museum, get in touch with the Portable Antiquities Scheme, who have finds liaison officers right across the country, and they can help you interpret it and, you know, work out what it actually is. If you find human bones, or you think you found human bones in your garden, I'm sure everybody knows what to do. You must call the police in the first instance. Yeah.
Report that ASAP. We know on the Happy Garden podcast that an awful lot of people, well, the whole world knows that a lot of people got into gardening during lockdown. A lot of people got into, and a lot of people redesigned the gardens and did dig ponds and, you know, patios and this, that and the other. An awful lot of archaeology did come up 4 years ago.
Yeah, and the other thing that happened was that people started kind of exploring their local area and becoming more interested in the landscape on their doorstep and looking at Google Maps. And there was one farmer in particular in Rutland who was on his family farm during lockdown, took his kids out onto the fields because he'd noticed that there were little bits of pottery turning up in a stream on the farm.
Yeah.
That got him interested in history, you know, where'd that pottery come from, who'd been there before. He looked at Google Maps and spotted some interesting crop marks, so just different coloration of the grass in one of the fields or the crops in one of the fields. So he decided to dig it. He said, come on, kids, we're not going to the beach this summer. Let's go and dig in that field. And that was the beginning of an incredible discovery. He discovered a villa with an amazing mosaic in it.
Oh, wow.
So that was an incredible lockdown story.
Oh, that gives me goosebumps. I love it, love it. Can you tell us plans for this year?
I can. There will be another series of Digging for Britain. Yay. So I'm very love glad it. To announce that. So, yeah, we just had series 11, which obviously is all on iPlayer.
Yeah.
And it's such an exciting time of the year because we're just starting to hear from archaeologists across the country who are digging, who have got plans for the rest of the year. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to find, but I know it will be amazing. So it's always exciting to, you know, start thinking about another series of Digging for Britain. I'm also doing another series of Royal Autopsy for Sky History. So more kings and queens, including Queen Anne, Queen Mary, Henry II and George IV as well.
Exciting year ahead. With the Digging for Britain, isn't it weird, Dr. Alice, that the stuff that you will have seen by this time next year hasn't been... It's still down there, hundreds or thousands of years.
Could be an astonishing, mind-blowing discovery that means still we have to rewrite there. All the history books and we haven't found it yet.
That's crazy, isn't it? Crazy. I love your job. Well, thank you for having a quick word with us on the Happy Garden podcast, Alice. You are so cool that you've actually given us a bit of street cred this week, so thank you.
Oh, it's very lovely to be on the Happy Garden podcast. My garden's one of my happy places.
Oh, are you a gardener? Do you vegetables. Do? Oh, you do, yes, do bits and bobs.
Yeah, I do bits and bobs. It's a very wildlife friendly garden, which is a nice way of saying it's messy. I'm looking out the window at my garden at the moment. I've put out some seeds for the birds. There's a naughty squirrel trying to get into one of the seed, one of the bird feeders. Yeah. But no, I love the garden. It's lovely. What have I got? Snowdrops coming up at the moment. I'm going to need to do a bit of a spring clean at some point, tidy it up a bit.
Well, if we can ever help you, you know, the Happy Garden podcast is here weekly. So, Dr. Alice, anything that you need Darren Rudge to answer for you, we're always here for you.
Yeah, I have got a crab apple that's looking a bit unhappy, actually. Yeah, I don't know, it doesn't seem to grow much. I don't know if it's just in the wrong place or it's too close. I've got a Himalayan musk right next door to it, so I don't
know. What's wrong with
that.
It? It just doesn't produce.
It just doesn't look happy. It does produce a lot of fruit every year, too much fruit, really. And I think it thinks it's dying, but I'm not sure what to do about it. Well, I don't know whether I should. Can you move the crab apple?
I will ask Darren and I will email your agent the answer, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
We'll get that sorted. AR Darren. Wasn't she just the most lovely, lovely lady?
Just breathing deeply. That's all.
Darren has a secret crush on Dr. Alice. Her crab apple. Yeah, you need to answer that and then I can transcribe and send it on.
Undoubtedly, it needs to be moved. She's quite right. Because if it's looking sickly and healthy, and a Himalayan musk, big shrub.
What's Himalayan musk? I didn't want to ask.
It's a very large shrub. Basically, it will be competing for water, light and nutrients, and that's why a crabapple is not looking to it. It needs space. I mean, the crabapple needs space. And the fact that it's producing fruit is good, so it's not on its way out, but undoubtedly, yes, she can move it. Just make sure that it gets a really good root ball around the base of the actual tree itself, and then essentially you can move it at this time of year. So it's a really good time, any time up until the beginning of March, mid-March, around about the latest time you can do it, and move it into a lighter, more spacious part of the garden. And it'll pick up, undoubtedly.
I wonder if it's fruiting so well for her because it's panicking, because it really is in trouble.
It can be. I mean, that can be one of the indications, but it can just be a sign of good pollination, a good garden with good pollinators in there as well, so that lots of the flowers are being pollinated, which basically gives a good fruit in season. But okay. I'd move it. Move it into a more spacious part of the garden.
Darren, do you realise, because I probably will lift this and send the audio to Alice's agent, you're putting your telephone voice on.
Am I?
A bit.
Hello.
Well, Alice, you are lovely.
I put to sound professional for Alice.
Of course you do.
Don't I?
I put my telephone voice on when I talk to the Sky remote. Netflix.
But Alice, if you're listening, get it moved. Okay. Pop it into a different area of the garden. Undoubtedly, it's there's too much competition around it. And plants are just like us. You know, if we get a little bit of competition, we tend to move, don't we?
Yeah, of course.
Or we make an
don't
area
like our neighbours.
Yeah, we don't like our neighbours. You know, yeah. We make it more spacious for ourselves. And that's what your crabapple needs. And it's a good time of year to do it. So get it done. Mid-March is around about the time, the cut-off time for moving deciduous plants. So it's a good time to do it now.
All right, brilliant. Okay. All right, and thank you to Dr. / Professor / all sorts of other things as well, Alice Roberts, for being on the Happy Garden podcast. Wonderful, wonderful woman. Right, Darren, still to come, your money-saving tips. We've got your jokes. We've got Rupert on how to plant garlic. We've got jobs for the week ahead. Got all sorts coming up. Oh, can I quickly ask you before we do a question from a listener about the hydrangea cuttings? Now, you talked us through this a few months ago about taking cuttings during the autumn. I've got loads and loads in the greenhouse. Do we plant them now or keep them in a pot for another year? I mean, they're only like twigs. What happens with the cuttings?
Well, you can pot them up. You can put them into larger pots if you want to, because the problem with putting them out now is, like you say, they're going to be swamped by other things. So you want to grow them on if you can do. Introduce them to a larger pot, but not too large, because all that compost around their root system, Molly, is just going to soak up water.
Okay.
And what you don't want them to do is to sit in water. Okay, so pot them up, and then probably next year again, you might pot them into a larger pot until they're a decent established shrub that you can actually plant out. Something that you would buy, I always say that the marker of this is something that you would buy from your garden centre. What size of plant would you buy and say, I can just put that straight into the into the garden. So there you go. That's that's the size. You want them to be in a 2-litre or 3-litre pot. At the very, very minimum, before you actually plant them out.
My 4-inch twig isn't going to do it just yet.
No.
Okay.
No.
Also, before we carry on, Caleb, do you ever watch Clarkson's Farm? Are you a fan of Jeremy Clarkson? You know Caleb, who basically runs the farm?
Yeah.
He'll be on the Happy Garden podcast next week talking about the archaeology that he's dug up on Clarkson's Farm as well.
Excellent.
I know, he's ace. So we'll hear from him
Clarkson
next week. It's what Clarkson?
What he's dug up. The archaeology.
The old dinosaur. Darren. You either love him or you hate him, don't you, Clarkson? I don't know. But,
I thought he was really good on Top Gear.
He is good, but Caleb is just brilliant. So we'll hear from him next week.
Woo!
Now, finally a question. I've just looked at the time. This is going to be a bumper edition of the Happy Garden podcast. Is your eye all right, by the way?
Yeah, it's all right.
Are you sitting there with your eyes closed?
Yes.
Oh, are you?
It's all dark.
Oh.
Well, I was sitting here with my eyes closed listening to Professor
Alice. I bet you were. Right, let's get on to a question then. If you have any questions for Darren, it's thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Okay, all one word, thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. So here is one from Rhys in Taunton that says, I've got a question for Darren, please. My neighbour's ivy is driving me mad. I have their plants spilling over my fence. This is the left fence, which does belong to me. I have no problem with them growing plants up the fence, but their ivy is now weighty and encroaching on my side. I've spoken to them to ask them to trim it back, and I was told what they do on their side shouldn't be my concern. I am concerned, and I think my next conversation should include the law regarding a shared space. Any advice, Darren, would be very helpful. Gosh, where do we start with this? That's from Rhys, Darren.
Well, neighbour disputes and things like that are always difficult, aren't they? First of all, you do really need to check that it is your fence. It's there is no clear-cut reason to say just because it's the left-hand side, it is your fence. You need to check the deeds of the property because it could be the right-hand side.
Is it sometimes right? Yeah.
Yeah, it can be. It's just not. You know, you can't take that as a simple. This is my fence. Right. You need to check deeds of the property. You can own the whole fence, Molly. So the whole of your fencing can be your fence.
That would be expensive.
So that's the first thing to do is to check deed to the property and actually what you actually own. The second thing is that anything that grows over your side of the fence, you can chop off and you can hand back. So legally, it's their property because it's there on their side of the fence. You can actually prune it back, and then basically hand it back to them because it's their property, as I've said. Now, the difficult bit comes with getting them to maintain their side. And there's no way in the world that you're going to actually get them to do that. You might have to resort to some legal advice here and go to your local advisors, those sorts of people, just to take some advice as to how to approach this. Because these sorts of things can blow up into almost wars, can't they? If that fence is yours and it is damaged by your neighbour, then you are quite within your rights to ask them to pay part towards a new fence if it actually brings the fence down. Of course, they will have their side of things and you've got that conversation to have, haven't you? But it's really, really difficult. Now, I'm sorry that you're having these problems and that your neighbour can't be more sort of sensitive to the issue, and it would only take pruning back, and perhaps that's something you could offer. Can I come round and can I prune the ivy for you? You know, and just keep it under check. Perhaps that's one way to go with it.
Yeah.
But if they don't want you on your property, on their property, then there's no way that you can actually do anything about it. So I'm sorry, that's probably not the answer that you want, but perhaps citizens' advice, something like that, might be able to offer more detailed advice as to how legally you stand with regards to your neighbour having a plant that's potentially going to destroy the fence.
Darren, I think you haven't hit the nail on the head there, and I've had to do it with one of our neighbours who I can't bear. But I won't go into it on the podcast, is to swallow it, because I know that things get out of hand very quickly and it's not worth it. And you've mentioned, you know, tit for tat. It's really not worth it. So if you have to swallow, you know, your anger and go their side and help out, or, you know, just bite your lip, it is worth it in the long run. You are right, Darren.
Yeah, and it's, I think what you've got to look at here is, yeah, there is this issue, but there is your welfare as well.
Yeah.
And your state of mind, and are you really prepared to get
it?
What potentially could happen? I just think you need to weigh up your options with these things. I've got the same problems at home as well, you know, with neighbours that just don't seem to care or just want to lop off branches,
chop everything down,
things like that. Don't really care about plants or wildlife, things like that. And sometimes you just have to take a step back. And I often think this about emails. Perhaps you get an email sent and you just really want to respond to it straight away.
Never reply in anger.
But, you know,
sit on it.
A couple of days, and then, you know, you've considered it.
Yeah.
You?
Well, keep us up to date, Rhys.
Please do.
Yeah, keep us up to date as to what happens, because, yeah, your experience might help other people in the future, so it'd be an interesting one. Now, Dazzler, before we do your money-saving tips, a very, very quick one. Have you had a look at the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page today?
Yeah.
You said that really defensively.
Yeah.
Have you got rights yet?
No.
Come on now.
I will.
Good.
I promise.
I've been saying that for 5 months. But the thing is, some lovely people have been posting some pictures of, you know, you did a feature a couple of months ago about reproducing things from supermarket scraps, basically stuff that, you know, fruit and veg that you buy, which I just find absolutely fascinating. So, Si has sent us some onion seeds and pictures and stuff. Constipated cat Si, who actually also posted on my Facebook page, Molly Green, Molly with an IE. He had some tattoos done yesterday. He's had some mushrooms behind his ears. But also, Brian as well has grown, the top of a pineapple. And so pictures are on the Facebook page there as well.
Hello, I'm Caleb, and you are listening to the Happy Garden Podcast. Thank you.
Right, earlier on in the Happy Garden Podcast, Rupert was telling us about his God-free garlic, and he also wants to share his knowledge as regards of planting the garlic.
How to grow giant garlic. Right, any giant garlic, this is specifically for Godfrey's garlic, but if you've got Isle of Wight or Solent or elephant garlic, that's what it, and yes, I do grow some elephant garlic as well, because I like it, the mild flavour. Right, your best really to plant your giant garlic, it needs a long time to grow. You're best to plant it as soon as you get your bonfire out of the way. Use your ashes off your bonfire to top dress your soil. You've already got your soil dug and prepared and everything. So you take your garlic clove, dig a hole 6 inches deep. Basically, dig a hole a trowel's depth deep. Take a pinch of potting grit, and I mean only a pinch, not a handful. Drop it in the bottom of the hole. Take half a dozen chicken pellets and drop in the hole, and put your garlic in with the pointy end facing upwards. Cover the soil back over and firm it in well. Then plant another one 12 inches apart. When you put your row in, then plant the next row 18 inches apart until you've done all your plot. Then, the secret is then, is to do what they call a shuffle walk over the soil surface. This causes 6 inches soil impaction in the top, but nothing to worry about. Put your full weight on, 10 stone, 11 stone, whatever you are, 20 stone if you're a big person. Walk up and down, shuffling up and down the rows, A, to level the ground off, but more importantly, to expel any pockets of air so your garlic doesn't rot. Rake the top of the ground over so it just looks nice. If you've then got some ash from your bonfire, if you know anybody that's got a bonfire, sprinkle some ash over it. That's the old-fashioned way. If you haven't, put a good sprinkling of chicken manure pellets over the top. No need to work them in, because the rain and the weather will do that. Leave them alone. Then, in late March, you very carefully, without treading on your garlics and without getting any more chicken manure pellets on the garlic sprouts, very carefully do a light top dressing between the rows, in between the plants, between the rows. Walk away, keep it weed-free, but be careful not to hoe your tops off. They are susceptible to various flies that might get in, but if your ground's hard, that's why you walk on it as well. It stops the insects getting in and damaging your garlic. Then harvest your garlic round about. You'll know when the garlic's ready for harvesting. It will go, the tops will go yellow and start to wilt a bit. Normally, the end of June, no later than the middle of July. Harvest your garlic like you would any other garlic, dry it, and away you go. Don't forget to share it with a friend.
He's good, isn't he?
Well done.
He's good. Darren, I didn't realise about treading in or treading on your seeds and your crops to stop air bubbles and then stop insects from laying eggs. Top tip.
Yeah, totally top tip. Well, don't dig.
Yeah, there is that.
Simple as. Yeah, just don't dig.
Yeah.
No dig. Things can't get in. Or make as little disturbance as possible. And then things can't get in, things can't get to grips.
Yeah, of course. Which you've advocated loads in podcasts gone by.
Well, excellent.
If you want
what
to
an excellent guy.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he? We might use him in 2024. Because, yeah, as you heard a little bit earlier on in the pod, you know, he's high up in the allotment society. So, and he's got a lifetime of knowledge. So Rupert will be joining us. And if you've got, you know, tips, if you want to share knowledge, if, you know, a lifetime of experience in the plot of digging, of gardening, of sowing seeds, you are more than welcome to share here on the Happy Garden Podcast. If you just get in touch, well, let me give you all the ways to get in touch.
If you'd like to get in touch with Molly Green and Darren Rudge at the Happy Garden Podcast, then all you have to do is follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. If you'd like to send them an email at the Happy Garden Podcast, you can email thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
We would love to hear from you. So, yeah, we can get you on the pod. Darren, we're nearly done.
Wow.
I know. How are you feeling? A little eye check.
I'm all right. It's okay.
You're doing all right.
Like I said, it's a bit painful, but, you know, it's all right.
You won't be able to watch telly.
Well, I haven't been able to watch telly for about a week.
So. Oh, bless you.
So actually, that's a lie, because I can watch telly with sunglasses on.
Bless you. Oh, I guess I've got to send you pictures of this blind stuff that I've got.
Yes, please.
Because I've got some of these glasses. They look like security glasses. They've got sides and all sorts. You know, they sort of filter out all the lights. Got them in all different colours. So I'll send you a pic a little bit later.
There's a joke, isn't there, about the blind man? There's a nun.
I don't know that we can say it.
In the bath.
What?
There's a nun in the bath.
A nun. Hang on. A nun and a blind man in a joke.
Yeah.
Darren.
Well, the nun's in the bath.
Mm.
And then there's a knock on the door, and she says, "Who is it?"
Mm.
And he says, "It's the blind man." And she says, "Oh, come in." He said, "I've just come to check the blinds."
Do it again. There's a nun in the bath.
There's a nun in the bath.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a knock at the door, the bathroom door.
Bathroom door.
And the nun shouts, "Who is it?"
Who is it?
And he says, "It's only the blind man."
Yeah.
And she says, "Oh, come in then, that's fine." And he walks through the door and he says, "I've just come to check the blinds."
Oh, I see! So he wasn't blind!
Now in the happy garden.
It's about time for some Alan Titters. Brace yourself for your gardening jokes of the week from Darren Rudge.
Thank you. Second time round. Got it. Why was she a nun? What? Well, anyway, let's carry on. On your head be that one. Right, let's do jokes, Darren. Go.
Why did the carrot visit the psychic?
Don't know.
To get his carrot cards read.
Oh, Darren, I like that very much, his carrot cards.
Number two. Mm. Why was the salad so very tired?
Oh, it's nothing to do with ketchup, is it?
Nope.
I don't know.
He'd been turning and tossing all night.
Oh, you're good. Tossing, yeah.
Which type of vegetable always gets jealous?
Oh, hang on. Don't know.
A green bean.
Oh, good. Good, Darren.
Why is a broccoli a royal vegetable?
Queen, king, prince. Don't know.
Because it's got lots of crowns.
Oh, good, Darren. Yeah.
What's the difference between broccoli and cauliflower?
One's green, one's white.
Sort of. Cauliflower is just broccoli that's seen a ghost.
I like that, Darren. Do you know what you can have? Wait, you can have two of them. Hang on. Yeah, good.
Fantastic. So, Molly, if you've got four cauliflowers in one hand and six cabbages in the other hand, what do you have?
Wind.
That's better than the punchline. Okay. Bloody big hands. That's what you've got.
Darren.
Yeah, six jokes for the week.
That's really good.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, Darren, I really do enjoy your jokes. Right, wait, right, that really is nearly it. We've just got jobs for the week ahead.
Money-saving tip yet.
Oh, haven't we?
No.
Haven't we?
You told me to tell you. Yeah, I'm doing my money-saving tip.
I did tell you to tell me if I've forgotten anything.
Jokes.
Well, where's that then?
I don't know.
Hang on.
You wrote the script.
I do have the script. Sheet one.
You did a money-saving tip.
Sheet two, yeah, has Molly's money-saving tip on it. Sheet three, Alice Roberts. Oh, there it is. Oh, yes, it should have gone before Rupert's How to Plant Garlic. Oh.
Honestly.
Do you want to do that now?
Yeah.
Right, hang on. Let me get my glasses and find the button. Here we are. Here we go. Bear with.
Now, live on the Happy Garden Podcast.
Here we go.
It's time for
Darren's money-saving tips.
Here we go then. Create an insecticide using essential oils to treat a whole range of pest foes. Nature gives us things that if we only take note of them, we can use them in our garden. So to create a broad spectrum of all natural insect repellent, mix equal parts of rosemary, peppermint, thyme and clove oils, about 10 drops of each, in a spray bottle filled with water. Remember to shake well before each use, apply anywhere you want, and it will get rid of skittering, creeping, crawling or flying pests. For particularly bad infestations, try using some neem oil. This natural insecticide dissolves the waxy coating of many hard-to-kill garden parasites, dehydrating and eventually killing them. Neem oil not only works on adult insects, it also kills larvae and eggs, making neem oil a super effective all-natural method for reducing those populations of insect pests. There you go. There's my money-saving tip this week.
Good dump. I'll tell you who I spoke to this week, Joan from West Midlands Hedgehog Rescue, it being National Hedgehog Day last week. And she was saying about all the chemicals and, in, you know, insecticides used for aphids, this, that and the other, which all do filter down into the everything that hedgehogs eat. And that's of detriment to them in the garden. So anything like that, Darren, which, of course, you advocate, is brilliant. Any sort of organic control that won't kill other things in the chain, brilliant.
Excellent. It's all right, the cat's attacking my box.
Sorry?
The cat is attacking my microphone box.
Oh, your microphone box?
Yes. No, don't do that.
I was going to say, what you got a box on for, Darren? Got to play cricket with one eye. Oh, have you got a cat on you?
No, he's sort of at the back of me, sitting on the box, because I've got the, you know, the foamy stuff that sort of protects you.
On your box?
On my box.
Mm.
He's sitting on top of the box.
Aww.
And basically...
Cats love boxes.
He's starting to attack the cardboard bit of the box.
What does your cat look like?
He's Tabby.
Aww.
So he's going.
Can hear. Really need to oil your door. Oh, no, you like it creaky, in case anyone is coming to kill you in the middle of the night.
They're breaking in.
Yeah, you'll have a heads up. I don't know why anyone will run and kill you. Sorry, Darren, I don't know why I said that.
Good.
A bit disastrous, wasn't it? Negative. Right, sorry, Darren, I don't know where I was going there. Cup was half empty there for a second. We're going to finish with jobs for the week ahead in two ticks. What are you doing for the rest of the afternoon? Do you feel okay? You've managed the pod almost.
I'm going to rest me
off. Rest.
Rest. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rest me off.
Put a hot flannel on it.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Pretend it's Professor Alice Roberts.
Oh, Darren.
Put hot flannels on my eyes.
I bet you are as well. Is your wife in? God, I hope Alice isn't going to listen to this. She'll never appear on the podcast again. Oh, Darren. Well, yeah.
Darren's money-saving tips.
Leave that there. Leave that there. Right, jobs for the week ahead, and then we're done.
Fantastic.
This really is a bumper pod, by my reckoning. We're about an hour and 20.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
It is. We should charge. We should charge for this pod. Oh, I've bought a new computer, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm. Comes in 3 weeks.
Oh, God.
I know.
Where's it coming from?
I have absolutely no idea. But the delay is not as bad as it was last week. Shouldn't have wasted
There's
my money.
No delay at all.
It's fine. Darn it. Right, let's finish with some jobs for the week ahead, Ed Aaron.
Now in the happy garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes. 3, 2, 1, go. I ought to say we do have some freezing nights ahead.
Oh, yes, snow on the way.
What? Oh, I haven't seen that. Really?
Yeah. So while you're in the garden in the snow, you can be lifting and dividing your herbaceous perennials, folks. If you're a summer bedding person, then you can be sowing seeds of your summer bedding plants right now. As long as you've got a heated propagator, you can get seeds of geraniums, lobelia, busy lizzie, bedding begonia. begonias and all sorts of things going in a heated propagator right now. In the next few weeks, then, the tubers of dahlias, begonias and gladioli can be started in the greenhouse as well, or on a windowsill, a nice sunny windowsill. Make sure that the compost is moist and they're in a seed tray or in a small pot. Lawn areas should be mown, OK? Remember, give them a tidy now and they'll look all the better in March. Make sure that lawnmower has also been serviced, folks, before you start to mow.
Yeah, we'll do.
Well, I don't know about you, but I've had a thoroughly lovely time listening to that, sweetie darling. I know that I will be having a crack at some of those jobs this week. Take care, everyone, and I'll see you next week for more absolutely rudgelicious gardening jobs for the week ahead.
You're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge.
Is that it? Can I go home now?
I have literally no idea where my lawnmower is.
I literally don't.
Somewhere at the back of the garage. Darren, the pod has been... Thank you so much for doing the pod in a medical emergency. It's it shows your dedication.
Oh, no problem.
To the Happy Garden Podcast.
Yes.
Brill.
Yes.
I had to... I don't know whether you heard last week's podcast. I had to do the strangulated goodbye myself. It didn't really work.
It was all right.
It wasn't you, though.
No.
It wasn't you.
Not really.
So if you want to do the goodbye, we'll see you next week. I shall leave it to you.
Bye!
You've been listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge. If you'd like to send them an email, get in touch with the Happy Garden Podcast by emailing thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.